Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and here's a call-in question we've never asked before. Call in if you've ever been strip searched as a visitor to a prison, or if you've ever strip searched anyone as a corrections officer. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Why do we ask? Well, the New York City Department of Correction encourages inmates to maintain ties to friends and family on the outside through visitation. But visiting a prison complex like Rikers Island can come with its own set of perils. And an investigation by WNYC and The Intercept has revealed that hundreds of women have complained that they've been subjected to invasive searches while trying to visit a loved one at Rikers. Here to speak with me now about her joint investigation with WNYC is journalist Raven Rukia from The Intercept. Hi, Raven. Thanks for coming on.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And yes, folks, we're serious about the ask. Call in if you've ever been strip searched as a visitor to a prison or a jail, or if you've ever strip searched anyone yourself as a corrections officer. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Raven, I see that during the investigation, you and our reporter, Cindy Rodriguez, found that 83 complaints about correction officers were called into New York's 311 call center since 2010. Why are people calling into 311 to file these types of complaints?
Well, usually they're encouraged to by correction officers. So they'll complain after a strip search to the captain or someone else in the area, and that person will say, well, call 311. And this is also the number that sometimes inmates call when there's issues on the island. So that's why most of them have been using 311 to make these complaints. I think it's important to say that not everyone makes these complaints, however, because not everyone knows that strip searches or cavity searches are even allowed. So the 83 complaints is definitely on the lower number in terms of strip searches.
Am I right that New York City settled two big lawsuits involving strip searches?
Yeah, so these lawsuits were settled in about the past decade or so, but these lawsuits were about inmates being strip searched and whether that was constitutional. And they were both settled for millions of dollars. But this is this investigation is a little different because we're talking about people visiting the jail, so not people who were accused of doing a crime and not people who are incarcerated on the island.
So what is the Department of Corrections policy exactly in terms of pat-downs and strip searches of visitors?
So if a visitor doesn't clear the metal detector or something similar, a correction officer can ask the visitor if they consent to a pat-frisk search, and then they'll sign a consent form. And the pat-frisk search is just, you know, patting on the outer layers of a person. They're not allowed to remove anything but their outer garments, like a coat or their shoes. The closest thing basically to a strip search that they can do is if a woman is wearing a skirt, they can ask her to lift up her skirt. But in terms of actually removing clothing, they're not supposed to ask to do that. And they're also not supposed to touch the visitor's skin except for on the sleeves and the collar.
And so here's an example from your story of a woman who complained about her experience visiting Rikers, Jasmine Quattlebaum.
She spinned around searching the waistline, but she was searching up under the panty line, too. So as I came back to the front, that's when she pulled forward, and I'm going down to, like, close my pants, and she just took her fingers, like, no, like, and just took her fingers and just shoved it in my coochie. I'm like, miss, what are you doing? Like, that's a violation. Like, where's the privacy? I'm like, that's not how the search goes.
And Jasmine's story didn't even end there. The officers didn't find anything when they searched her, she says, but she was arrested. Why was she arrested as a visitor to Rikers Island?
That's a great question. So she was charged with obstructing governmental administration and harassment, which means that they argued that she stopped a correction officer from doing her job. And so Jasmine Quattlebaum says she was she was in the search area expecting a pat for search when she was actually when what actually happened was the CO started performing a cavity search. And of course, Qualibam is shocked. And so she tries to get away. She tries to remove the CO's hand. And the CO then arrests her. And they confine her in a cell in the visitor area before then charging her with the crime.
And so Jasmine and at least 25 other women are suing the city right now. Has the Department of Correction taken any measures to be more vigilant about these visitor searches?
Yes, that's a great question. So they have installed cameras in all the search areas in all the jails, which is great. They installed those in mid-September 2000. They started installing them in mid-September 2016. All the cameras were up and running by October 2016. But it's important to say that these complaints have been occurring for at least 2 years, probably longer. But during the past 2 years, in 2016, 2015, 2014 is when the majority of the complaints came in. So this has been happening for a long time. So it's great that they installed the cameras, but it took a while for them to do that.
And you and Cindy got a reaction from the president of the Correction Officers Benevolent Association, Elias Huzamuddin, with what he thought of the allegations of inappropriate searches of visitors to Rikers. Elias represents a union of 10,000 correction officers, and here's part of what he said.
These allegations are nothing new. Usually they're made by visitors and inmates against officers who are very diligent, thorough at doing their job, and end up catching them or the inmates trying to bring in contraband.
And, of course, the union head is going to be defensive of his members, but he argued, Raven, that searching visitors has turned up a lot of contraband, including drugs and weapons, which is the point of the searches when they suspect things like that. Are the officers not just trying to do their jobs in the vast majority of cases?
That's a great question. I really appreciated his viewpoint, but it's important to say that of 25 of the women who have filed lawsuits, none of them have come up with any contraband arrest. And so contraband on Rikers is definitely an issue. It consists of everything from tobacco and marijuana to weapons, which obviously is a factor of the violence on Rikers. But we also have to consider people's human rights, and we have to make sure that while we're trying to keep contraband off the island, that we're also respecting people as human beings and not violating them.
How many women have complained about invasive searches to the Board of Corrections?
84 women have complained to the Board of Corrections about inappropriate searches or illegal searches that are not allowed.
And so are the allegations that this is a form of sexual abuse, that these guards are taking advantage of the situation to touch the women for sexual purposes, or that they're being overzealous and just performing unnecessary searches because they're too concerned about contraband, or what are they really about?
That's a great question. So in some of the lawsuits, they say it's a form of sexual assault because these women are being touched inappropriately. That's non-DOC policy. But I think for the most part, it's seen as these guards are trying to find contraband, or some women say that they think it's some form of retaliation, that they don't like the person inside, or they don't like the woman because the woman spoke up for someone or spoke up for their rights, and therefore this is their form of retaliation. Even for the lawyers of the class action lawsuit in particular, they think it's more than just a few rogue COs. It's not really just a couple COs. It's more systematic than that throughout the DOC because of how many jails that they've seen this happening and just the number of COs that have done it. It's not just one or two, it's many more. And they think since the COs are trained to work in a hierarchical system and they're trained to follow orders, that this implies that, you know, there's someone higher up expecting them to do this. Now, that's what they're trying to maybe prove in their lawsuit. But of course, we're not sure exactly yet. What's the cause of this?
I see there was a hearing last July where Vivian Velasquez, a woman, described her upsetting experience during one of these searches. but her recounting of the episode may have been in vain. Here's a clip of her from your report.
It's so surprising how everybody left the room. You know, like, we don't matter. And that's the same thing what happens when we go on a visit. We don't matter. The COs run the show.
COs, the corrections officers. Have you spoken with her since your report came out? Is there an update?
I haven't spoken with her since the report went out. I did get a few emails from women who are strip searched and who are filing lawsuits saying thank you and we appreciate the investigation on WNYC as well as The Intercept. But yeah, I haven't spoken with her particularly. She isn't the only person who complained to the BOC as well. There was another woman named Lillian Rivera who testified during BOC hearings. And even, you know, some advocates at nonprofits have said, we've heard of women have told us this, these are their stories, and something needs to be done.
Michelle in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I'm calling kind of in defense of the officers. I know kind of firsthand working in a facility of what the officers go through when they do the searches. When people do try to bring in anything for the inmates, so they have to search. I've seen individuals try to bring in stuff through their sanitary napkins and through other things. So the officers have to do those type of searches. And working in those type of facilities, you need the officers to do those type of searches. And I'm sure she would be speaking very differently if she works inside the facilities that we work in and knowing that the women could bring in those type of weapons. Now, to deal with this, what needs to happen is just do quality checks. Have, you know, the supervisors set up, you know, spot checks to make sure that the officers are following the procedures.
Raven, talk to Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle, for calling in. I appreciate your viewpoint, and I think it's important to say that contraband is an issue for sure. In terms of on Rikers Island specifically, when women bring in contraband, the most common one is marijuana and tobacco, not weapons. So on Rikers, usually weapons are made on the island because the island is based, Rikers is falling apart. But I do
understand. Do you work at Rikers? You don't work at Rikers.
I don't work at Rikers. I'm a journalist.
Okay,
correct.
So talk to the staff that works at Rikers. Talk to the psychologists and nurses and ask them. There's a lot of different ways weapons and other contraband drugs and stuff come in. It's not just made there. I just want to make one other point. One time there was a facility. They had the dog sniffing dogs that they decided to put one day out in front of the entrance just as a routine check. And the visitors got off the bus and when they were coming in to this particular facility, when they saw those dogs sniffing dogs, you know how many of them turned around and started to go back to the bus? We couldn't say, why did they try to go back to the bus? Because they all had contraband. They all were carrying stuff because they didn't want to come in.
Well, that's such a broad brush, Michelle. But let me ask you, as a state prison employee, I realize you're not saying you're a corrections officer, but when, in your experience, do the officers decide that a strip search is warranted? What kinds of indications do there have to be of contraband under their clothes? Do you know how it works?
I'm sorry, when is a strip search warranted?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know the line-by-line procedures. I don't want to, talk out of turn in the sense of what my exact role is. But they are very, very, from my experience and what I've seen, they are very careful when it's a strip search. They usually call, like, a supervisor down in the area. I mean, it's not taken very lightly. There's spot checks so they can go back and examine, like, the number of strip search that has been done in a certain quarter and look at it like that.
All right.
So,
Michelle, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Sarah in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. So I went to Rikers to visit someone there as part of my work and I had never been to Rikers before and really had no idea what to expect. I tried to comply with all the guidelines by reading online beforehand to see what I should wear and what it was going to be like. And one thing that was not on the website, or at least I didn't see it, was, you know, a warning saying if you're wearing a bra with underwires, it will set off the metal detector. And that's what happened. I wasn't wearing anything else. I wasn't wearing any jewelry or anything else, but I hadn't thought of the underwires in my bra. So I set off the metal detector and was put into a line with several other women. It was all women who were setting off the detector. And I have a feeling that bra underwires were a big part of why that happened. And then I was taken into a room and told I had to, sign a piece of paper, which I admit I didn't read very carefully because, again, I was there for work and it was, I really needed to see the person inside. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to, you know, risk, getting thrown out, basically. So,
you were in effect consenting.
The CEO asked me to unbutton my pants. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised by that. And so I just did it. And then she did stick her hand down, like, around the sort of panty line area on my thigh. Nothing that went inside my panties. And then she sort of poked around in there and then just said, okay, you're fine, and said I could button up my pants again. I was so surprised. And since I had never been there before, and it was just really important for me to get inside, that I just didn't really feel. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I guess this is the way it is.
So did you feel that it was inappropriate? And is there anything, based on your experience and whatever work it is that you do that brought you into a prison, so maybe you're thinking about prison issues, any reform that you think would be appropriate?
Well, first of all, I think it would be helpful if it said loud and clear on the guidelines for visiting that if women are wearing bras with underwires, they should not do that. It's just going to set off the detector. So, if I had realized that, I would have worn a sports bra or something that didn't have underwires in it, and I wouldn't have been subjected to that. I think it seemed strange that was not something that you were told. And I guess, a little bit more from the CEO of like, this is what I'm going to be doing now, and this is why,
right,
would have been helpful. But I just assumed the entire process of getting into the jail was very, very invasive and weird anyway. We were sniffed by dogs numerous times. I understand contraband is a problem, especially weapons can be really dangerous. So I understand that the CEOs have a very dangerous job to do, but it was disconcerting that as someone who is trying so hard to play by the rules and do everything right, that I still ended up with my pants down.
Thank you very much.
Sticking their hand in my crotch.
Thank you very much for sharing your story. I imagine it wasn't easy. Thank you very much. And, Raven Ruckia from The Intercept, before you go, would you say if there's a particular set of policy changes that you hope this investigation by The Intercept and WNYC News would produce?
Yes, that's a great question. So I think it first depends on the outcome of the lawsuits, whether they think they see it as a few Vogue CEOs have been doing this, or they see it as this was actually something larger than that and something more systematic. If it's a few rogue CEOs, either way, they really shouldn't be working on Rikers, right? If they're not following DOC policy. It's a question of whether they should be arrested, because if this was out on the streets, it would obviously be sexual assault. So whether there should be criminal charges is a good question. As far as the visitor process, I think the DOC really needs to determine how they can make the visitor process easier for everyone, easier for CEOs, but also definitely easier for visitors, because right now it's a very long and grueling process just to see someone on Rikers. And since visits are encouraged, and since they do so well for for the inmates' behavior and things like that, it really should be that visitors are easy, they're quick and easy, and, you know, they're encouraged for everyone, and no one is discouraged from going because of searches or things like that.
Raven Rakia investigated strip searches at Rikers Island. You can read her article on TheIntercept.com, or you can hear WNYC's urban policy reporter Cindy Rodriguez report that was done in conjunction with Raven's on The Intercept anytime at our website, WNYC.org. And we have links to both pieces on our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.